This is just one of those tough ones, and I'm just glad you're here. I, the host of this show, am just applauding you for showing up today. It was tough for us to show up, but this is what you do. You get hit in the mouth in life, and you show up, you come back, you try and get better. We're going to do that on the podcast tonight. We're going to try and decipher what happened on Saturday. Then we're going to move on. Thank you for being here, for supporting the show, the brand. Let's have a day. Let's go. Maybe an all-time short episode here. Welcome to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Grant, actually, before we hopped in, Kev just hopped in, literally hasn't said a word. We hit record. We're trying to get this thing done, in and out tonight, just like Michigan State was on us on Saturday. Tough one. Kev, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Can't wait for an unbelievable 20 to 30 minutes that we're about to have with you, right? It's going to be a great recap podcast. Do you remember Iowa defense playing this poorly?
Nope.
Do you remember an Iowa defense tackling this poorly?
Nope, I do not.
I was sitting there thinking today. I was writing some notes down on the little script outline that I have on Google Docs that I kind of keep on the side here while we record. And I'm trying to come up with in my head, and I know some of the reporters, beat writers tweeted this out, their thoughts on, you know, worst tackling performance or worst defensive performance since XYZ, whatever, last night. But in my head, subjectively, I was trying to think, and I quite honestly thought it might be the Minnesota game that we played in 2014.
It's up there.
I mean, I know we got schlacked by Penn State, but
Penn State in 16, Ohio State a couple years ago, Tennessee in the first, like when we played them back in 14, honestly, we didn't play very great against them last year either.
It's a weird one because in the games,
go ahead.
In the games that we get beat, and I'm sort of referencing here, they're absolute beatings. They're not even close. They're not games. And this game was 25-20 in the fourth quarter, maybe late third quarter, fourth quarter. So this is a weird sort of odd feeling because it's a game that quite literally, if one thing goes the right way, this game had the potential to finish 27-25 or some weird score, and they score on like 12 of their drives because they're just punching together field goals with this Kim guy who, hey, congratulations, bud. We just gave you your Groza game. You're welcome. And we were still somehow in it, but it just felt so bad. The tackling is awful. I've got some positives and some negatives that I wrote down. There's not a lot of positives. I'll be honest. Reese Dakin continues his punting performance, 4 for 46 average. We love that. That continues to climb him up there, and the punts that we needed and had were good out of him. Unfortunately, the defense just couldn't stop anything after we reset that field position. Stevens is absolutely dialed. He did miss the 58-yarder. Granted, it's a 58-yarder, and he was – you know, left to right, over 58 yards of distance, it's razor thin, the margin. And he was just outside the post there, had all of the leg.
Yeah, I think it's going from 65, right?
65 for sure. It might have pushed 70. Like
So should we have kicked the field goal versus Iowa State instead of throw the Hail Mary?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We should have. And it's what I've been – I didn't know he had that kind of distance. And I've been watching him probably more closely than most people. Obviously, last week got some play when he absolutely nuked somebody in the face in the front row. That was funny. I don't think people understand the distance involved in that. That has to go out the back of the end zone. A kick to the goal line is 65 yards. 70 halfway into the end zone, 75 back of the end zone. Drew Stevens is kicking it like 80 plus yards on kickoffs. And I've been sort of watching this. And I'm like, Dude, this kid's he has gotten so much stronger. Broadcast said he's added 35 pounds of muscle. I love when they say that, Kev.
I mean, he looks strong. I mean, he looks big.
He's definitely strong. He didn't add 35 pounds of muscle. You and I both know that. But he's added a ton of strength and a ton of good body weight to him. And maybe more than anything, a ton of great confidence mentally. He's dialed, even though he missed the 58-yarder. I think he got one later, maybe one or two later in the game. So, you know, specialists are good. I would even say kickoff, kick return, and punt return are doing good things. I would say kickoff and kick return. I mean, Weechen is just like razor thin close to breaking one every time he touches the ball. You can tell every time he gets up, he's like, God dang it. I'm just like that close. I would say they are close to the standard of Iowa special teams. Punt, our gunners are not. Our gunners have to be better at finding the ball. And maybe that was a thing that, you know, a lot of people have talked about Cooper DeJean spoiling us over the last couple of years with how good he was and just how natural of an athlete and football player he was. And maybe that's the case. If you wanted to describe it that way or use that way to sort of lay out the situation, so be it. These gunners are in position. They are down the field. They are not finding the ball and getting in position to get in front of it. And it is going in the end zone too many times. Not an easy job, but they're there. They've done the work. They just have to do the last 5%. Like it's really frustrating. And then the last couple good things I put on there is Caleb's still a dog. He rakes off a 75-yard touchdown when we needed it most, but he really wasn't able to be seen all day because our first and second levels got bullied by Michigan State. It looked like they were coming off a bye week, and it looked like we had just stepped off the bus. And then to be honest, and this is sort of hard to see, especially through last night, but I really like what our wide receiver talent looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the next, you know,
it's the most positive it's been in years, I'd say. Yeah.
Reese Van Der Zee had
with room to grow too.
Yeah. Reese had his best game since week one against Illinois State, obviously an amazing touchdown catch after a catch earlier in the drive that really, it was his drive. I think Seth Anderson is good. I think Jacob Gill is good. I think Dayton Howard and Jarriott Bowie. I think we've got a decent core once we have our playbook in and we can roll. Those are the only positives.
I'll pull out one more. It's, you know, we're down 12-0 going into halftime and can't stop them on defense. Can't get anything going on offense, and we do come out on offense and go touchdown, touchdown, back to back drives.
You're right.
Which is positive to see. I mean, keeps us in the game, even though it's still like we go touchdown. It's like, okay, first half was all Michigan State, couldn't do anything right, and we're down 5 points now.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the very next drive, we let up a 9-play, 75-yard drive, and it's like, okay, feels like we're back out of it. And then the offense responds again. So, I mean, you can – that's a good thing to see, right? Because years past, you're down 12-0 at halftime. You're like – there's no chance.
Yeah.
Oh, we pull off one touchdown drive. Great. We give up another one. You're like, okay, you're back in the pit of despair. It's like, we have no ability to come back. I'd like to see the offense punch back today.
And I would say you're right. This is a good pull from you. And sort of in general, you might just call this Tim Lester's adjustments and response with play calling and effort, because the players still have to go out and execute those plays, play hard, respond. Our response offensively has been very good most games this year, or just our second half, third quarter, specifically that Minnesota game. This game, we come out hot in the third quarter. It's been really good. So I like the adjustments that our team's been able to make. The issue in this one is the bend don't break defense just simply broke. It broke by bending too much. If you really want to dial in that analogy, you can only bend so much before you're kind of bent. It's been bent. And I don't really have a lot to say about this, Kevin, other than there's a clear liability at corner. We do not have a solid second corner behind Jamari Harris. Castro being out hurt a little bit, I think. And kind of all around, I'm not even going to single people out or say that some people did good. It was just an all-around defensive effort of just poor tackling yesterday, one that I have not seen in years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anyone can really hang their hat on the defensive side of the ball, anything they really did well. You know, we talked about a few times this year, like how we've been kind of blessed at a, with the lack of injuries so far this year.
Yeah.
I guess we really didn't know how blessed we were up until this point, because apparently we are hurting for death, especially in the defensive back end.
It's tough to watch them run out TJ Hall and then who's our other guy? And then Nestor is who?
It was Jamari on one side and TJ. And then TJ on TJ, did he get hurt at some point in the game, or like they didn't really talk about that?
Maybe it looked like it. Nestor was out there. And then I think we have a third guy on that side too, right? Who am I missing?
Castro was out, and so we had Enchinger playing, and then he came out about halfway through the game too.
I mean, we're just hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Luttmer's playing, like
it's like those are not those guys' natural positions,
and they're not ready.
No, they're not ready. No,
I don't know, his last name is Marsh, maybe the receiver. They're good receiver. He made that very clear on the one-on-one on the outside towards the end of the game there, broke our guy. I think it was Nestor. I understand, but I've been there. Damond Powell made me look like an absolute wacky, wavy, inflatable tube man in practice on punt return or punt coverage drill one day. But, you know, it just tough day. And so we have a liability there. Our linebackers are good. Our defensive line is good. But, I mean, even them yesterday,
they didn't have good games.
They did not have good games.
We were out physical on the defensive side of the ball.
And it almost looked like, and I know, Grant, you talked about, you were worried. You talked about this, this quarterback who clearly has some sort of magic power, because he moves almost like in a slow fluid motion and no one can touch him. I'm just confused. Like he
doesn't look that fast. Just
he doesn't.
Yeah. He's slippery.
He is slippery, and he's a great athlete, and he can make some great throws. And I saw exactly what you were saying last week when we talked about this, G-Bone. You know, I'm not even going to really say that he beat us. We just beat ourselves. Tell me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but generally when you swarm tackle, first guy to the ball wraps up and stops them. The next guy goes for the ball if you have an opportunity. Our first guy to the ball too often right now is just trying to punch it out, and they're not wrapping up. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. I saw
a lot of guys diving
at legs,
not striking the chest, running through tackles. It's just ugly, bad fundamental football, and Iowa cannot win when we are not playing good fundamental.
No, when you're not the most talented team, which, to be honest, maybe is less of an excuse now than it used to be with us, Kev, because this team actually does have, when you look at it on paper, more talent than it used to.
I mean, so this is the game on paper that I was supposed to win, right?
Sure.
This isn't the game where you get to play the talent excuse. I mean,
no.
Yeah, a couple of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and you were obviously hurting after that.
Ohio State's the game where you're like, well, they were just better.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't walk out of
that card versus Michigan State, not at this point in their program.
No, and I think, you know, from what I've heard about that coach and what I've seen in his interviews, I actually really like him. Very respectful of Iowa this week in the program, and I liked his answers when they interviewed him and stuff, and he seems like a good guy. They probably hired him for a reason. And maybe Michigan State is better than we thought they were, right? They had a very tough last couple weeks before their bye week playing Oregon and Ohio State.
No doubt.
But that's not a game you walk. The bus doesn't, you know, drive to the airport after that one and everyone's going, oh, they were just better than. No, like, no, that's not. The guys know that they should have. That's a game they should win. We'll get to the offense in a second. I think the biggest glaring issue, maybe. But I just want to give a Premier Automotive collision of the game to the Iowa fan base's ego. I mean, just a tough one just an absolute starship rocket right to the heart of the Iowa fan base. There is more to play for, and I think maybe this podcast is where you'll find the best in-depth analysis of why the next five games are still important, plus a bowl game, assuming we make it there, is still important to an Iowa program, these Iowa players. But when you're talking big picture, you know, this team will sit down at the beginning of the year and they're saying, okay, we want to compete for a Big Ten championship. We want to, and now they're probably saying, if we compete for a Big Ten championship, we also want to be in the playoff contention. Those things are gone.
Yep. This is the game every year that hurts the most.
Yep.
And it's the game where the goals you set out for at the beginning of the year are done, out the window.
Yeah.
And you realize, you're not playing for a Big Ten title anymore. You're not playing for a playoff appearance now. And that's one that's always hard to swallow.
Yeah. And so it's going to be hard for that team. It's going to be hard for the fans. Biggest hit to the ego. Premier Automotive Collision of the Game. Shout out to them for sponsoring the heartbreak of all of Hawkeye Nation. Grant, could you pull up the betting picks real quick before we talk about the quarterback situation, which I think is maybe where we leave off tonight, the last thing we're going to talk about. Unfortunately, I didn't even feel good about this, but I went 4-1. It's good, but I didn't feel good about it just because of the end of the day. Oklahoma State, Friday night, kicked it off. Should have beat BYU. Grant, I know you watched that one. Unbelievable.
Great game.
Unbelievable awesome. Play with about 14 seconds left. BYU, they throw it down the middle of the field. Nobody can tackle a guy. He scores. But Oklahoma State covers 9.5. Nebraska, let's circle back on Nebraska because cool. Kevin and I both had them. Army minus 15. They were up huge early. I believe
they did cover, though. They won by 17, I think.
They covered. Army covered. Yep. But it was closer. It ended up being 17. I think they were up like in the 20s at one point. Maryland. I'm telling you, man, this cross-country travel, dude. USC joined the Big Ten to be a 6-6 ball club. Maryland wins outright by 1 point in wherever they play. I don't even remember what.
College Park, Maryland.
College Park, Maryland.
Spring Break capital of the Northeast.
And then Grant tried to shame me on this one. He's like, oh, Arkansas.
No. It wasn't shaming. It was – I thought we were talking at the end about putting our heads together.
Right.
Which we agreed on.
Okay.
And you mentioned Maryland. And then you jump to LSU, which we didn't agree on.
Okay,
the issue.
I was on the positive side of this LSU matchup. I think they end up actually winning by like 17 or something. So I'm back on track. We go 4-1, and I don't even feel good about it. Nebraska was the one loss of the day, and it was. Whew. I mean, if you feel bad as an Iowa fan,
eesh. Yeah, I mean, I was on that one too, and it was more so a reason like. Didn't really know if Indiana was for real or not, and
they are.
They're a good football team, and that was impressive what they did to Nebraska.
I mean, that was beyond impressive, and I don't know if Nebraska quit. I was actually out training during this game, sort of around that like 1 o'clock time frame. I getting beat by 20 or 30 is an ass beating. When a team hangs 56 on you and you score a single touchdown, that's not good.
Nope. Also had the under in that game expected. Nebraska has been having a pretty good defense this year, and they just were outmatched, outclassed, didn't show up. So that's a miss right there. Had Rutgers minus 4.5. They lose. Again, I was playing that cross-country travel with UCLA. Was going to play a 9 a.m. game on their schedule, but they
– somehow they woke up.
They woke up and they played. They get the win, so we lose there. And then had Iowa, and obviously we know what happened there. The only two wins of the weekend were Illinois plus 3.5 and the under in that Illinois-Michigan game. Illinois is a good football program, and Michigan is no longer where they want to be.
Struggling.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Burt guy. Big Burt guy.
Love Burt.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, but it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, Be a deer and call Premier. I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
They got to get him one of those bright orange jumpsuits like he wore at Arkansas, the big red one that he had. You get one.
Any bright color on that man is probably not his best clothing choice, but hey, it is what
you
it
like
is.
Did you like the Illinois helmets?
You know what? I actually did. When I heard about the concept of it, I thought, I don't know if that's going to work. I actually thought it was kind of cool.
I thought they were great. I didn't understand the hate they were getting. Each one took 2 hours to hand paint, and it looked good.
God, really?
Yes. They've been working on this for weeks.
Yeah. That's insane.
Oh, right, really? Damn, that's impressive. They looked pretty realistic.
It was like wearing the Mona Lisa on your helmet. It was amazing.
So I'm 15-14. We're back above 500. Kevin 18-12-1, and that's a good record. That's a great record. Gary, I saw somebody mentioned that you started 0-5 this Saturday.
Well, that someone was me. I was keeping track of it. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. We were doomed from the start. Like, as soon as I gave out any of these picks, all the lines went the opposite way of where they needed to go. Not good. And I posted the graphic, right? 6 minutes later, Georgia Tech announced their QB's not playing. Like, it was just, we were doomed before the games even started.
It's tough.
Like, it was awful. And it was crazy, too, is Georgia Tech still had a pretty decent chance to cover that game. But, again, it wasn't even what I was expecting. But, yeah, we went 4-10. We got absolutely throttled this weekend. We weren't even close. On most of these, it was all sorts of bad. Luckily, in the afternoon, we had Tennessee, which, it didn't even look good for a while, but they snuck one out there. Illinois was solid the whole way, though. But, like, even Maryland, they did an onside kick to start the game. We talked about, I think, on Taglines a while ago that if you get the surprise onside, I don't know if I've ever seen a team lose and get the surprise onside. If you do the surprise onside and don't get it, you almost immediately lose right away. So one play in Arizona, and then they just got throttled the rest of the game. Arkansas, not even close. I keep picking West Virginia. They have not even come close to covering any of the games I have picked them in. It's been a disaster. Clemson, though, we needed that one bad. And then Virginia had a touchdown with like a minute left. Garbage time, no reason to score. Scored anyway, ruined my morning slate. But it was tough out there. But yeah, I remember checking in on you
at one point. I think you were like 2-8 at one point.
That sounds about right. That sounds like something going on. But yeah, I mean, I saw some people were talking about last week and too that apparently last week between the NFL and college football, that it was the worst weekend for Vegas in like 20 years.
Wow.
Or something like that in terms of like losing money. So it was, and I mentioned last weekend too, when we were talking about the record stuff, I was like, I'm doing too well right now. Something bad's going to happen here eventually.
You're back. You're back to almost 500.
Yeah, we're almost back. But hey, we terrible weekend. We're still above 500 somehow. Like
silver lining.
I keep seeing this the clip from It's Always Sunny when they're doing the wrestling and Frank's there at the end. He just stands up. He's like, oh shoot, I guess I'm still the winner standing here somehow. But yeah, just a disaster. I didn't like Oklahoma too. Like, I can't believe I even had Oklahoma on here. And like, someone tweeted at me later. They're like, what have you seen from Oklahoma this season that made you pick them here? And I was like, I don't even know. I'm just dumb. All right. Is that the answer you wanted? All right. I don't like that it's on here either. Okay. But it is. I can't change it.
I have two betting things before we move on from the recap of this segment. One, and I tweeted about this. There's a not so secret fandom of Nebraska volleyball that I have that's been mentioned and brought to the attention of many in the fan base. And I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to sit here and talk about it, but we may or may not watch a Nebraska volleyball game here and then. It's clouding my judgment.
You know, okay? Iowa has a volleyball team, right?
Yeah, they're not good, and the program's been in shambles.
But it's a part of being an Iowa fan. Is not all the program's going to be great, but you got to root for your team.
Hey, buddy, we've talked about this. I'm not a fan.
Ridiculous. I stand with you, Iowa volleyball. I stand.
Yeah, they've actually been doing great this year. Took a set from Oregon. I'm still keyed in. I know exactly what they're doing. Nebraska, I just know all their players. It is what it is. Anyway, the fandom of Nebraska volleyball is clouding my judgment, and I've picked Nebraska way too many times to cover or to go over. So the next time I even mention Nebraska, you guys have to tell me, Kluver, shut the fuck up. Do not take Nebraska. And you just have to get me out of that. Okay.
I want the same with West Virginia. I can't keep doing this.
Okay. And I'll hold you accountable with the Mountaineers.
Kevin, I think I'm done betting on Rutgers now too.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm still in on Rutgers.
Grant's like, Scarlet Knights, I already put one in future on them. And then secondly, this is more of a positive note. I did an NFL prop bet today, five-legger, that is 4-for-4 currently at plus 2,000. I need Aaron Rodgers to throw for more than 225 yards tonight, and I turned 5 into 100. Do I hedge that bet, or do we just let it ride?
Let it ride.
You just let it ride and trust A-Rod, right?
I mean, it's like, what are they? What's your cash out option even?
$50.
Just go for the 100.
Okay. I
mean, so I've got one for you. I'm a big teaser guy for the NFL. I always like to put out one teaser every NFL weekend. And this is almost worse than losing. I got a 9-team teaser out there. Didn't need the teaser. I've got two more games to hit.
Oh no!
I've got the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. 7-for-7 so far.
Wow.
Didn't need the teaser on any of them.
So that's hard to do.
We could be sitting on a 9-leg parlay instead of a 9-leg teaser.
Which would be astronomical odds.
Which would be about 10 times more payout. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but then you already know if you made it the parlay, like the first leg would have lost by like 40 points or something.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I mean, you know.
Okay. So appreciate the invisible sponsor for that segment. We don't have a sponsor. Speaking of sponsors, advertisers, hit us up.
Email me.
Email Grant or me. We'll have some talks, right? Could be some opportunities coming around in the new year. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to bury the lead here. I'm done with Cade, and even saying it like that is – it, like, who gives a shit, bud? You're a 30-year-old former long snapper on a podcast, right? Like, no one cares. And that's generally how I view, like, when people online say, this is unacceptable. Like, okay, unacceptable to Joe the banker who, like, just has fandom for the Hawkeyes? Like, players aren't playing for your acceptance. Coaches aren't coaching for it. But to some extent, like, I personally – and I think Cade's an okay quarterback. I'm not even sure Brendan Sullivan is that much better. What I do know is he hasn't had the chance to prove he is or isn't. And it's 7 games into the year, and Cade has had – I wouldn't even say last week against Washington, Cade had a performance that was worthy of, like, he is absolutely locked down this position. He did throw a great ball to Reese Vanderzee for that touchdown. That's a big-time college football play. The problem is that every team in America has a guy who makes plays like that on a semi-regular basis, and we don't. I believe he was like 11 of 24 last night. Not good. Throwing behind guys, he's under-throwing guys. He's just had, in my opinion, he's had enough of a run where I just don't see, and I know the whole joke with Brian, like, oh, what's the upside? I really actually don't see the upside of leaving him in. He just doesn't, like, if you put Cade on the bench and bring Sullivan in, which we already do, by the way. KF and Lester and the entire staff trust Sullivan. We've talked about how he's a leader in press conferences. KF has, like, oh, I'm impressed with his leadership and how people have flocked to him as a guy who kind of, like, is a verbal, you know, this guy from Northwestern in such a short time. We've proven that we've trust him and that we'll put him on the field. I don't understand at this point why you wouldn't at least give him a chance with the entire offense. A lot of what Cade did yesterday, the interception as a primary one, is just like it's not getting it done. It's not even close enough to like, it's okay, we'll keep him. No, like, it's just straight up not enough of it is good. It's just not good. And I know, like, people are going to be like, oh, Kluver finally came around. Well, I actually said this pre-Ohio State. I've been on this for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I've said, I don't know why at this point you wouldn't give Brendan Sullivan a chance, because Cade just doesn't give you even what, like, an Aiden Childs does, where, like, this guy can just sort of create magic out of nothing if he has to. I would pay every dollar that Cade was paid in NIL money to just give Aiden Childs a Hawkeye jersey right now. Like, that would be cool. He could at least make something happen. Cade's a good dude. He's been called a good leader. He's got the respect of his teammates. But as far as, like, production wise, there just is no spark or excitement or You know, unless they just feel like Brendan Sullivan cannot manage an offense, make checks, you know, on a first and 10 at 35 yard line to start a drive, and he just can't manage like your every run of the mill drive, which I don't know why he wouldn't be able to. I don't see why KF is still playing Cade. I don't think that's the reason we'd lost the game last night, but it would be nice if you had a quarterback where maybe he's the reason why you won, even if he's not the reason why you lost on the other side of the argument. So I don't know about you, Kev. You can give your thoughts or you can just completely abstain from that conversation. But I know that there were some conversations being had in our Benton group chat. I won't name names or what they said, but I think it's the same conversations that are kind of happening all over Hawkeye Nation. Like, why are we still playing this guy? There's just not a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, it was glaringly obvious. You don't need to be a ex-college football player or college football coach to see that, you know, there's guys open and he's finding them at times, but he's just not making the throws.
And when he finds them, it's not in stride. It's behind him. It's too high. It's too low. I even think of the pass out to the flat that that Caleb Johnson dropped, I think. And it was just Caleb kind of had to look back, and it was just a yard or two too shallow. He wasn't leading him into the path that he was going to then take to run out that route once he caught the ball. And it's just like even little things like that, like we're just missing throws. The interception was god awful, and I don't know what he saw or didn't see, if the guy was supposed to run a different route or not. But he's done that in multiple games now. That's the Iowa State game, that crucial interception, cross body, cross field to start the second half. The three interceptions he threw at Ohio State, or three turnovers he had at Ohio State. It's just not there's not enough ceiling there to warrant him continuing to stay in the game, because if we play Brendan Sullivan and he's dog shit, then we can just put Cade back in the game. It's not like you play Brendan, it's like you lose the Cade McNamara card forever. He's right there. You just throw him back in if things go bad. Like I don't understand why you wouldn't do it. I don't
no idea what we have in Brendan Sullivan back there. What year is he?
Sullivan?
Yeah.
I believe he's got one more year after this.
Okay.
He's just unknown eligibility at this point. Just,
yeah, who knows?
It's 2024. No one has actual eligibility. You just play until you don't want to anymore.
It brings up a conversation, Kevin. I don't know if this is why you mentioned it or not. It's like, well, okay, we just talked about how the Big Ten championship and playoff hopes are probably all but dashed for this season. If he's going to be the guy, or he is thought of to be the guy for now, for next season, maybe there's even more.
No better practice reps than game reps.
There you go. So there's that. Now, I know we're going to leave it at this. I wasn't kidding when I said this is going to be a short recap. I know no one wants to sit around.
Can I part in with QB question real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of debate going on Twitter. Again, I'm not sure who's expert and who's not, but some people were confused why Sullivan is the red zone guy, but then when we need a 2-point conversion, they go to Cade.
You can throw me right in that mix. I don't know.
That is? Okay.
I was pretty sure we were going to see Sullivan for the 2-point conversion there, and we just played Cade. And I sat there, and my wife was probably annoyed at this point because I said, "Why the fuck is he in for the 2-point conversion when Brendan's our red zone guy?"
If I had to hazard a guess, it's because usually offensive coordinators have like their 2-point play going into a game, and the 2-point play was the play you saw, which we were throwing the ball, and we're more comfortable with Cade throwing the ball at this point. I don't know. That'd just be my guess.
Yeah, I don't know. After watching the high snap that Sullivan took later, and he kind of didn't even have a chance to play action to Caleb, and then he ran out behind Hayden Large to the end zone for a score. I guess that would have actually been the first touchdown, the one before that.
Yeah.
He's a playmaker. Like the guy has a little bit of creation in him.
Yeah, if things like aren't, is it a pirouette on the bad snap? A little like spin into the run.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. It was nice. It was fun.
Good play call, though. I'm pretty sure Spencer Peaches could have scored on that one.
Hey,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. I might have been
another great weekend, by the way. First of all,
good for Spence.
Bring him back.
Grantsman campaigned for it.
That is that graphic does too well. It's like fishing for. And by the way, I'm going to do the same thing. By the way, with Cade's face on the Batman graphic, when whoever the next execute Sullivan, whoever it is, what inevitably, let's say like three and out happens and everyone starts complaining, I'm going to throw up the Cade one, and it's going to be the same thing. Like, oh, we didn't give Cade a fair shake, man.
Yeah, I think it hasn't been since CJ Beathard that the backup quarterback wasn't the most popular guy in Iowa City.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it's often the case, but I mean, the issue is the whole quarterback talent development, how it's played out since basically Nate Stanley, is a conversation that probably deserves a further deep dive in a longer format in the offseason. Nonetheless, one last thing before we go. I said it was going to be a short episode. I'm going to get you out of here because no one wants to just sit in the misery. Chris Doyle. And Kevin, I don't know if you listened to this yet. I've listened to it twice. I'll probably listen to it once more before I give my thoughts. Chris Doyle, first public interview since basically all of it happened in 2020. Chris sat down on the Iowa Everywhere Network, another just absolute home run by Chris Williams and the Iowa Everywhere guys. They're just crushing over there. They get a interview with Coach Doyle. Keith Murphy took that on one-on-one. Pretty good interview, about 46 or 7 minutes long. Keith hit him with all the tough questions, just straight up like, hey, did you call people the N-word? Like, why do you think black players felt uncomfortable? Like, pulled no punches. And it was good stuff. About everyone and their mom sent it to me and said, hey, did you see this? Yeah, I saw it. If you saw it, I saw it. And then everyone else who then assumed that I had seen it and knew I was listening to it or was going to listen to it said, hey, we need a reaction podcast to this. We need your thoughts. We need Kevin's thoughts. Kevin can speak on it on a second if he's listened to it, but I am going to give my extended thoughts on I'm not going to flood your current feed that gets a podcast every single day with, we already put out so much content. I'm going to go and just monologue and just sort of blabber on a Patreon podcast. And I know what you're saying. Oh, he's just doing it for clicks. He's just trying to get money. I don't care if you come listen to it or not at all. Don't sign up for the Patreon. In fact, you could sign up, get the free trial of Patreon, and then bounce after 7 days if you really want to come listen to it. It's free. But I'm going to put it on our Patreon behind the, you know, on that feed over there because I'm not even sure it'll be a good episode. But I'm going to sit down sometime this week and give my thoughts on it. It was interesting. There was some interesting stuff in there. I have extended thoughts 4 years later, even after we've talked about it several times, about how that whole situation went down and how unfortunate really it is. Cav, did you see that at all?
No, I've not listened to it yet. I'll probably try to get to it sometime this week.
Okay, there you go. So if you want that, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, you'll be able to hear my reaction to the Chris Doyle interview sometime this week. You'll also get the taglines that Gary and I do on the Patreon every week and all of the perks that come along with that, which will be relevant very soon here as the Washed Up Walk-Ons Christmas merchandise drop eventually happens. Thanks for listening. Yeah, join the army right there above Grant's head. If you're watching the YouTube, you can just scan that QR code. It'll take you right to the Patreon platform. Maybe we'll be better this week. We got to climb out of it somehow. These guys still have to wake up and go to work and win ball games. So remember that. They're still busting ass every day. We will talk to you on Wednesday when Ike Holt and I do the press review show. We'll see you then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.